Hello, it's the 20th of February, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sunsounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'm in Flagstaff today, and I'm bringing you news of interest to our veterans community here in Arizona. And we have news from our military news websites, as well as our Veterans Service Organization websites and publications, and of course, the latest from the Veterans Administration on news.va.gov. Turning to our first item from the Stars and Stripes website, stripes.com. This is from the 19th of February by Caitlin Burchett. TRICARE beneficiaries instructed to download medical records from old system before April the 1st. Washington. Military healthcare beneficiaries are being urged to download their digital health records from the TRICARE online patient portal before April 1st to retain copies. The Defense Department is decommissioning the TRICARE patient portal as part of its transition to the new MHS Genesis record system. Patient records on the older TRICARE system will not transfer to MHS Genesis. Health records must be downloaded by individual patients. Failure to do so could result in gaps in medical history, TRICARE said. All military hospitals and clinics have transitioned to MHS Genesis. We encourage you to take these important steps to save your personal health records before the TRICARE online patient portal decommissions, said Rear Admiral Tracy Farrell, an official for the Defense Health Agency. To download the records, beneficiaries should log on to www.tricareonline. That's all one word, TRICAREONLINE.com. And click the blue health record button to view and download personal health data. Beneficiaries can also choose the person, data types, date range, and format for the records that they need to download. Medical providers will have patient records, but after April 1st, patients will need to request physical copies by completing a form in person and then return at a later designated time to pick up the records. Your medical history is a valuable resource for managing your health, and saving your records now ensures you have access if you need it, Farrell said. MHS Genesis came online in October 2023. It was developed as a state-of-the-market electronic health record system for the military health system under a $4.3 billion contract signed in 2015 with Leidos Partnership for Defense Health. The change from the TRICARE online portal to MHS Genesis is meant to streamline electronic health records management. And that's TRICARE beneficiaries instructed to download medical records from old system before April 1st. Our next item is from militarytimes.com. VA leadership nominee grilled over recent department layoffs. This article is by Leo Shane III from the 19th of February. Veterans Affairs Deputy Secretary nominee Paul Lawrence faced harsh questioning from Democrats during his confirmation hearing Wednesday, not for his plans for future reforms within the department, but instead for changes being put in place before he gets there. Lawmakers lashed out at Lawrence and lined B, the second highest ranking official at VA, for his lack of insight and outrage over the recent dismissal of more than 1,000 department workers as part of government-wide efforts to trim the federal workforce. VA officials have insisted that the moves won't hurt veterans' benefits or medical care options, but Democrat lawmakers on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee called the firings arbitrary and reckless and questioned whether the White House officials consider the long-term impact of those moves. They're just making stuff up, telling people things that then later turn out not to be true, said Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat of New Hampshire. They're not thinking through how their actions will actually affect veterans, and I'm concerned that this reckless pattern of decision-making will continue. Lawrence, who served as VA's Undersecretary for Benefits during President Donald Trump's first term in office, deflected most of these complaints, saying that he's not been involved in the personnel decisions ahead of his likely confirmation. He promised to work closely with lawmakers to clarify how future personnel moves will and will not affect department operations, and express confidence that VA leaders are making moves to improve efficiency at the agency. Lawrence's job would effectively make him chief operating officer for the department, handling a variety of issues, including the ongoing electronic health records overhaul. In December, VA officials said they hope to restart that embattled effort in mid-2026. Lawrence said he hopes to move quicker on the issue. "We can't spend months again studying what's going on and figuring it out," he said. "Everything's on the table. The goal is to come up with a plan that can be implemented and to implement that plan." He also promised to continue implementation of the PACT Act, a 2022 law dramatically expanding veterans' benefits eligibility for military toxic exposure injuries, and work for ways to offer more medical care options to veterans. And he dismissed accusations that administration officials are working to massively shift veterans' funding from federal medical centers to private sector clinics. "We're not going to privatize VA," he said. "We would push back on any efforts to do that." Lawrence said he would ensure that outside officials, including members of the Department of Government Efficiency, do not access veterans' benefits or health care information. "Access to veterans' benefits and health information is strictly guarded," he said. "There is a restrictive process to do that." Lawrence is expected to be easily approved by the Republican-controlled Senate in coming weeks. If that happens, the vote will put confirmed officials in the department's top two leadership posts as the White House tries to put in place further reform efforts at VA. That's VA leadership nominee grilled over recent department layoffs. Turn now to Air Force reservists who taught music to get $60,000 after losing school job amid deployment. This is from Stripes.com by Philip Walter Wellman from the 10th of February. Oklahoma City Public Schools will pay an Air Force reservist $60,000 as part of a settlement resolving allegations that the school district violated the airman's employment rights. The settlement in the case of Staff Sergeant Michael McCullough was announced in a Justice Department statement Friday. The DOJ sued the district last year, accusing it of violating federal law by not renewing McCullough's contract because of his deployment and refusing to rehire him upon his return. Under the settlement, the district has 30 days to compensate McCullough. He is about to receive $15,000 for lost wages and $45,000 in damages, according to court documents. A music teacher at Fillmore Elementary School, McCullough was under contract through the 2021-2022 school year and had been encouraged to return the following year, according to the complaint. In February 2022, McCullough informed the school's principal of his deployment orders. She suggested it would be easier if he resigned, the complaint said. Less than a month later, while deployed, he was informed that his contract would not be renewed. Despite multiple attempts to get his job back upon returning, he was denied, even though the district had positions available, according to the Justice Department. In the lawsuit, the district was accused of violating the Uniformed Services Employment and Redeployment Rights Act, a federal law that protects armed forces personnel from employment discrimination based on military service. McCullough was featured in a 2022 Air Force news release, which described his determination to join the military as the epitome of resilience. The California native wanted to enlist after the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the U.S., but couldn't because he was overweight. He'd stopped weighing himself in college when he hit 377 pounds, the statement said. two decades later after losing more than 200 pounds and overcoming other personal challenges, he began basic military training for the Air Force in April 2021 at age 40. Besides paying compensation to McCullough, the school district, which is the largest in Oklahoma, also has 30 days to update its policies and training to prevent future violations of the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. We owe it to our service members to safeguard their employment rights when they are deployed, federal prosecutor Robert Truster said in the Justice Department statement. Doing so shields the service member and their families from suffering financial and other hardships extending beyond the term of the deployment. And that's Air Force reservist who taught music to get $60,000 after losing school job amid deployment. Our next item, also from Stripes.com, but originally from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram from the 13th of February, defending our country was our duty. Iwo Jima veteran recalls the battle ahead of its 80th anniversary. This is by Rick Mausch of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. All it takes is a close of his eyes, and Don Graves is a 19-year-old at the historic Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II, wondering if he'd see his 20th birthday. I remember the bullets flying all around and wondering if I was going to be next, Graves recalled. Today I think of my buddies that were killed. When I go out and speak and I hear the audience's applause, I give it to my buddies. Graves, who now lives in Keller, Texas, will turn 100 on May the 3rd with a public party at the Hearsay Lounge in Arlington, Texas. Among his many memories, that memorable battle tops the list, with the 80th anniversary of its start being February the 19th. Graves, who served with the 2nd Battalion, 28th Marine Regiment, entered the battle with 335 men. He was one of only 18 survivors. Today, there are only 4 living survivors. Of the 3 other Marine Corps survivors I am aware of, I only know one of them, Billy Beard of Jackson, Mississippi, Graves said. I visited with him in December of 2023 at his home and then saw him again while at the World War II Museum in New Orleans with the Gary Sinise Foundation in 2024. Billy and I were in the same unit. We both witnessed the flag raising on Mount Suribachi. The beach and a foxhole. When I hit the beach on Iwo, men were dying all around me, Graves said. I said, God, if you'll get me off this beach, I will serve you the rest of my life. Graves, who had become a pastor, flashed back to a time in a foxhole that still gives him chills. I was looking for snipers and would come down to shoot the bull every now and then. The CO came on the radio and said, we need to keep looking. The first sergeant had just been hit, he said. When the replacement arrived, he asked Graves for the binoculars. He got up in the same spot I'd been in. The 3 of us started shooting the bull, and all of a sudden we hear a noise, and we see him fall backwards, Graves said. His helmet fell off, and inside his helmet was a picture of a young woman with a baby in her lap. Graves enlisted after Pearl Harbor was attacked. He was inspired by a speech from President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I was sitting in a car with 2 of my buddies listening to the big bands. It was cold in Detroit, and we had a blanket covering us, he remembered. The president came on the radio and addressed the nation. We were taught patriotism and history in school. We understood that defending our country was our duty. Graves grew up during the Great Depression and has a family military history. His dad served in the Marines in World War I. His younger siblings, brother Bill and sister Sally, served in the Navy and Marines. His oldest son, Tim, served in the Army after the Korean War. Son Mike retired from the Navy after 26 years in 2003. Graves was given one of the most dangerous jobs, company flamethrower. He carried an explosive device on his back. I was walking to the PX one day, and the skipper walked up and told me I was to be the company flamethrower. I asked him why, since I was so short and small, Graves said. It was a good question. The flamethrower weighed 72 pounds with 2 fuel tanks and a center tank for compressed nitrogen. The skipper told me that that was why he picked me. I was short and moved quickly, and that'd keep me alive, Graves said. It was a job. That's the way I had to think about it. Sad to say, but you become callous. You realize it's kill or be killed. First knowledge. No American had ever fought on Japanese soil before Iwo Jima, which Graves said he and his buddies had never heard of until the day before they arrived. More than 7,000 Marines were killed and 20,000 wounded during the historic battle from February 19th to March 26, 1945, when the Marines fought to take control of an 8-square-mile island from the Imperial Army of Japan. The island would give the U.S. a staging area for a potential invasion of the Japan mainland. That morning, we were served steak and eggs for breakfast. I asked my buddy, what's up with the steak and eggs? He said, Graves, think about it. What do they serve prisoners before they're executed? But we needed that island. The Japanese were radioing ahead to the mainland when our planes would come overhead there. They didn't stand a chance if we didn't take that island. Graves recalls sitting in a foxhole and suddenly wanting some hot chocolate. We were kids. We didn't drink coffee, he said. I took some water and a chocolate bar out of our rations and used some demolition to heat it. After a while, the smell was wafting through the air. All of a sudden, I hear a Japanese voice say, Hey, Marine, very good hot chocolate. You bring hot chocolate here, Graves said with a smile. I said, Oh, no. You want hot chocolate, you come get it. We all had a good laugh. Sharing the story. Graves shares the experience through his connection with the Fort Worth nonprofit veterans organization, Roll Call. Don speaks and sings all over the country. He's passionate about patriotism, said Roll Call President Mary Staffield. He'll sing anywhere, anytime. His favorite is God Bless America, but he also loves to sing Danny Boy. Gives you chills to hear his thunderous voice. At events, he is, as it should be, the center of attention. He's taking pictures and signing things. That is his time with those who love him. Coming home. When Graves and the remaining soldiers were released to leave the island, they were told to go through their cemetery and say goodbye to the buddies. As we approached the gate, I saw everyone stopping to read a piece of paper posted there. This is what it said. Hey, fellas. When you get back home, tell them we did our best, that they may have many more tomorrows, Graves said. When I speak to people, I always tell them that they are living in those many more tomorrows. And that's Defending Our Country Was Our Duty. Iwo Jima veteran recalls the battle ahead of 80th anniversary. Our next article is from taskandpurpose.com. Navy says it's on track to hit its highest recruiting numbers in more than 20 years. The Navy has contracted more than 14,000 future sailors since October the 1st. This is by Jeff Schogel from the 19th of February. The Navy's on track to meet its highest recruiting numbers in more than 20 years, the service posted on X on Tuesday. The recruiting goals for fiscal years 2024 and 2025 are the same, 40,600 new sailors, the highest numbers in two decades. The Navy surpassed last year's target with 40,978 recruits, and it's expected to achieve that goal for a second consecutive year. Between October the 1st and January the 31st, the Navy contracted more than 14,000 future sailors, of which more than 12,750 were shipped to boot camp, said Navy spokesman Commander Tim Hawkins. By comparison, the Navy has contracted 4,000 more sailors and shipped 5,000 more sailors in the first 4 months of fiscal year 2025, than during the same time period last fiscal year, which ran from October 1, 2023 to September 30, 2024, Hawkins said. The Navy's announcement on recruiting comes 2 weeks after the U.S. Army Recruiting Command announced that Army recruiters had their most productive December in 15 years by enlisting 346 soldiers daily, after which President Donald Trump and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth claimed that the boost was due to the 2024 election, as Task and Purpose previously reported. It's not clear how much of an impact the election has had on recruiting, but the Army's recruiting numbers were already on the rise prior to Trump's return to office. When asked what factors are driving Navy recruiting and if more people are enlisting in the Navy because of Trump's election victory in November, Hawkins provided Task and Purpose with a statement. Our recruiting gains are a direct result of the hard work and commitment of our Navy recruiters, support staff, and leadership. No other information was immediately available on the specific reasons why more Americans are enlisting in the Navy. An apparent factor in the Navy's success at meeting its fiscal year 2024 recruiting goal was the Future Sailor Preparatory Course, which helps potential recruits meet the service's academic and physical standards. These recruits on the academic track receive help with math, reading, and test-taking skills, and those in the physical fitness track take part in structured physical training, nutrition education, and life skills. For fiscal year 2024, a total of 1,924 recruits went through the physical fitness track and 3,451 went through the academic track, and 90% of all those recruits graduated from boot camp, Hawkins said. So far, the Future Sailor Preparatory Course has produced 6 honor graduates. As of early February, 1,220 recruits have enrolled in the academic track and 249 in the fitness track, the Navy told Task and Purpose for a previous story. Experts have different opinions about why more Americans are joining the Navy. Retired Navy Admiral James Stavridis, who served as the Supreme Allied Commander at NATO from 2009 to 2013, said, "The Navy offers job stability amid a slowing economy and cuts to the federal workforce. People want the security of a job in the military," Stavridis said. "As unemployment rises in the country, the military looks like a pretty good option to people." But retired Navy Captain Brent Sadler said the Navy's ability to sign up more recruits reflects a wider trend in military recruiting advertisements that now emphasize the branch's mission and appeal to Americans' sense of patriotism and camaraderie. The Marine Corps never embraced the Biden administration's identity politics in its recruiting and didn't suffer, and the Army has in recent on this changed its advertising to a traditional message and too has seen steep positive improvement in its recruitment, said Sadler of the Heritage Foundation think tank in Washington, D.C. Clearly, people want to join a military that's focused on mission, competency, and patriotism. And that's the Navy says it's on track to hit its highest recruiting numbers in more than 20 years. Patty Nieberg of Task and Purpose writes our next article, "Fort Bliss gets a glimpse into the future with 3D printed barracks." The 3D barracks project is one of the newest uses of the novel construction method. This is from the 6th of February. Soldiers headed to Fort Bliss, Texas for annual training rotations will live in 3D printed barracks built by a 5-ton printer using a form of concrete. The Fort Bliss building is now the largest 3D printed barracks in the U.S., with each building able to house 56 soldiers within its roughly 5,000 square foot interior. In late January, 3 3D printed buildings were officially opened at the base, 2 in Pershing Heights area and 1 at Camp McGregor on the base's training complex in New Mexico. The base hosts around 70,000 service members annually for training and includes Army, Reserve, and National Guard units that deploy there for annual rotations. The first occupants of the Pershing Heights barracks will be the 382nd Military Police Detachment, an Army Reserve unit from Massachusetts, which is scheduled to travel to the base for the installation's Mobilization Force Generation Installation mission. To 3D print a building, computer-aided design software was used to design the structure, which was virtually sliced into horizontal layers and vertically rejoined, according to a DVIDS release. Icon, the company in charge of the project, then used its 5-ton, 16-by-47-foot-wide Vulcan printer to build the barracks with a proprietary concrete-based material called Lavacrete. According to an Army release, Lavacrete can be tailored to the local environment's humidity and temperature and is meant to last longer than traditional building materials. One of the most compelling aspects of 3D printing is its ability to print high-quality structures faster and more cost-effectively than traditional methods of construction, Lieutenant General David Wilson, Deputy Army Chief of Staff for Installations, said at the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new barracks. Wilson added, 3D printing brings down the cost by reducing the amount of labor, allowing for customizable designs, simplifying the construction process, and reducing waste. However, the cost of the 3D printed barracks at Fort Bliss was not immediately clear. Army officials referred questions about the project's costs to ICON, which did not respond to requests for comment. This is the latest example of the Pentagon using modern methods to build troop housing cheaper and faster. Up north at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, Army officials recently undertook their own cost-effective housing endeavor by physically moving World War II-era barracks across base. In recent years, the Department of Defense began investing in 3D printing or additive manufacturing to build spare parts for weapons faster and cheaper, even sending one to Ukraine to help Ukrainian forces print replacement pieces for U.S. military equipment. More recently, the Pentagon updated its construction criteria to account for it and is looking at 3D printing as an expeditionary solution in forward-deployed locations, Wilson said. This post has evolved with the times, embracing new technologies, new strategies, and new ways of serving our country, Wilson said at the ceremony. It's fitting that we gather here today to open new barracks that embody the same spirit of evolution and progress. ICON, the company doing the 3D printing, was previously contracted to build barracks at Camp Swift Training Center in Bastrop, Texas in 2021, and even signed a $57.2 million contract in December 2022 with NASA to develop technologies for building landing pads, habitats, and roads on the moon. The 3D printed barracks at Camp Swift were built as an energy-efficient option intended to reduce maintenance and operating costs, replacing temporary buildings that exceeded their intended lifespan, Wilson said. That's Fort Bliss gets a glimpse into the future with 3D printed barracks. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your phone or iPad from the Apple App Store or for your Android tablet or phone from the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. We'll turn now to the American Legion website. That's www.legion.org. And as tax time approaches, we have this article, How Long to Keep Financial Records. And this is from the 12th of February. Some can be disposed of after a month. Others you should hold on to indefinitely. Is there a rule of thumb on how long someone should keep their financial documents? I have filing cabinets filled with receipts, bank statements, and tax returns I'd like to toss. As we get older and our financial lives become more complicated, it can be challenging to know how long to keep financial records and paperwork and when it's safe to dispose of them. Some documents will need to be kept for your lifetime, while others can be discarded after just a month. Here's a checklist that can help you determine what to save and what you can throw away. For 1 month, you can keep. ATM receipts and bank deposit slips can be thrown out as soon as you match them up with your monthly bank statement. Sales receipts can be tossed after you get your bank or credit card statement. However, keep these longer if you plan to return the item or need proof of purchase for a warranty. Credit card statements can be discarded once you review your statement unless there are tax-related expenses on them. Remember, many credit card companies, all the ones I deal with, keep those statements online, so they're available generally for quite a bit of time. Utility bills should be saved until the following month's bill arrives, showing that your prior payment was received. If you track utility usage over time, keep your bills for 1 to 2 years. If you claim a home office deduction, keep them for 3 years. To avoid identity theft, be sure to shred anything you throw away that contains your personal or financial information. Keep for a year paycheck stubs until you receive your W-2 form in January to check its accuracy. Bank statements, savings, and checking accounts to confirm your 1099 forms. And again, usually those are available from the organization on their website. Brokerage, 401k, IRA, and other investment statements until you get your annual summary. You keep longer for tax purposes if they show a gain or loss. Receipts for healthcare bills in case you qualify for a medical deduction. Keep for 3 to 7 years supporting documents for your taxes, including W-2s, 1099s, and receipts or canceled checks that substantiate deductions. The IRS has a period of 3 years to conduct an audit after you file a tax return. However, that period can be extended to 6 years if they suspect you substantially underreported income. Keep documentation for 7 years if you claim a loss from worthless securities or a bad debt collection. If a tax return was not filed or a fraudulent return was submitted, the IRS has an indefinite period to pursue collection. Keep indefinitely. Tax returns with proof of filing and payment. You do not have to keep them forever, but many people do since they provide a record of their financial history. IRS forms you filed when making non-deductible contributions to a traditional IRA or Roth conversion. Retirement and brokerage account annual statements. Defined benefit pension plan documents. Savings bonds until redeemed. Loan documents until the loan is paid off. Vehicle titles and registration information if you still own the car, boat, truck, or other vehicle. Insurance policies. Warranties or receipts for big ticket purchases to support warranty and insurance claims. Personal and family records like birth certificates, marriage licenses, divorce papers, social security cards, military discharge papers, remember your DD-214, and estate planning documents, including powers of attorney, wills, trusts, and advance directives. Store these important documents in a fireproof safe or in a safe deposit box. Digitize your documents. To reduce your paper clutter, consider digitizing your documents by scanning and converting them into PDF files so you can store them on your computer and back them up on a cloud storage service. You can also reduce your future paper load by switching to electronic statements and records whenever possible. You may want to consider, as I've done, is purchasing a high-speed scanner. They're not that particularly expensive, but it sure makes stuff easier to find if you have them on your computer and can either have them stored in an organized way in folders or by just simply being able to search for a document. Very convenient. Savvy Living, this column, is written by Jim Miller. He's a regular contributor to NBC's Today Show. And that article, How Long to Keep Financial Records. Let's turn now to news.va.gov for news from the Veterans Administration. And we will start with this article, Staying Independent and Connected with Your Community. With a little help, you can be independent as you age. This is from the 19th of February, the Office of Geriatrics and Extended Care. For many veterans, growing older may mean having a harder time getting around, needing more support in your daily life, and requiring more frequent trips to the doctor for care. These changes might affect what makes you happy, like being independent, exercising, traveling, and spending time with family. This is why it's important to take advantage of VA resources so you can age in place in your home. In recognition of Senior Independence Awareness Month this February, VA is highlighting a variety of resources to help senior veterans live independently and live well. Resources for older veterans. VA offers a wide variety of resources and programs for older veterans that can help you build a routine and support system to remain independent. Veterans Decision Aid provides a checklist to help you narrow down which VA resources and what kind of care is best for you, with help creating a personalized health plan by and for veterans like you. Veteran-directed care. It allows you and your caregivers to create an individualized plan for assistance and personal care that fits your needs and lifestyle. Through this program, you can get help developing a spending and care plan to help you live independently in your own home or community. Palliative care focuses on keeping symptoms in check so that you can carry out day-to-day activities. Palliative care aims to improve your overall quality of life, whether that's physical, mental, or emotional well-being. Adult Day Health Care is a VA support program designed to help with personal care tasks while also providing opportunities for you to socialize with others and engage in your community. These activities are flexible and can be adjusted to best fit your schedule and needs. Community resources. VHA also provides a wide range of community resources online, over the phone, and in person to help you find support and address specific needs. Benefits Checkup is a free service that helps you identify what programs and care you qualify for. Elder Care Locator and Family Care Navigator provides resources for older adults and their families, as well as state-specific resources on legal issues, benefits, living arrangements, and education for caregivers. The National Aging and Disability Transportation Center promotes transportation options for older adults and caregivers, allowing more flexibility and freedom for senior veterans. You can speak with your primary care provider to find out if you are eligible for geriatric and extended care services. For more information on VA services for older veterans, visit the GA Geriatrics and Extended Care website. That's at www.va.gov/geriatrics/index.asp. And that's Staying Independent and Connected with Your Community. By the way, there are a number of links in that article, and you can search for that by going to news.va.gov, looking for health, and you'll find that article and be able to click on all of the links for those programs that were just described. We'll turn now to the newsletter from the Phoenix VA Healthcare System, Veterans News Now. They had a salute to Veterans Patients Week, and the Phoenix VA Creative Arts Therapy and Whole Health Ensemble performed a selection of songs at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center on February 12th in honor of National Salute to Veterans Patients Week. The Whole Health and Creative Arts Therapy Music Ensemble, it's a collaboration between the Phoenix VA Whole Health and the Recreation and Creative Arts Therapy departments. Beginning as a jam session around 2015, certified recreation therapists with music knowledge provide a space to facilitate a meeting for veteran musicians in the Topaz Clinic. Since 2022, this group has been fostered by the music therapists Tim McAlee and Kristen Frey. The group meets weekly and accepts all interested veterans, regardless of previous musical experience. The goals for the group are non-musical: create opportunities for increased social connection, develop healthy outlets for creative and emotional expression, and increase or improve coping skills when dealing with stress or anxiety. The Phoenix VA News, My Health eVet on va.gov. They remind you, don't wait. New secure sign-in required by March the 4th, 2025. The Phoenix VA My Health eVet team is helping veterans prepare for secure sign-in account changes with in-person assistance at the following locations and dates. February 26 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Midtown VA Clinic. February 28 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Southeast VA Clinic. March the 5th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center. If you do not already have a login.gov or id.me secure sign-in account and would like in-person assistance, please bring a valid ID. Driver's license or state-issued ID, a VA ID, is not an approved ID. The ID must be in good repair with a clear image of the face. Additionally, a valid phone number, email address, and Social Security number are required to create the account. The Phoenix VA Medical Center My Health eVet team can be reached at 602-277-551, extension 3934. The Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center Library is closing. They say, dear veterans, families, and caregivers, like to inform you about the upcoming closure of the Medical Patient Library at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center on March the 31st, 2025. For over 30 years, the library has been a place of learning, connection, and support for veterans, providing access to valuable resources and a quiet space for healing and reflection. We shall sincerely appreciate your support of our library system over the years. While this chapter is coming to an end, we remain committed to ensuring our veterans have access to the information and resources they need. If you have additional questions or need assistance in finding alternative library services, please contact the Veterans Resource Center at 602-277-5551, extension 2774. Thank you for your service and dedication to our healthcare system. The Creative Arts Festival 2025. The 19th annual Phoenix VA Creative Arts Festival will be held on Thursday, May the 8th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The competition exhibits veterans' original artworks, writing, music, dance, and drama. The event will take place at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center in the Topaz Clinic, the basement level ambulatory care clinic building. The event's co-sponsored by the Department of Veterans Affairs and the American Legion Auxiliary. Veterans who are enrolled in the Phoenix VA healthcare system are eligible to participate. There will be an open house for easy registration on Wednesday, April 9th, in the basement of the ACC near the Topaz Clinic from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Phone registration will be open from April 7th through the 18th by calling 480-524-3036. The winners of the local competition will be eligible to advance to the national level and may be invited to attend the National Veterans Creative Arts Festival. Following the local competition, winners will be contacted and follow-up media will highlight the veterans' achievements and progress through the recreation and creative arts therapy programs. Each participant will receive a certificate of recognition, and first place winners will receive a blue ribbon to be presented on the day of the event. Eligibility. To qualify for entrance in the local Phoenix VA CAF, Veterans must be an established patient with the Phoenix VA healthcare system prior to entry into the local competition. How to participate? The easiest way to enter is by attending the Creative Arts Festival open house on Wednesday, April 9th, in the basement of the ACC. Phone entries into the local Phoenix VA CAF are accepted from April 7th through the 18th. To participate, veterans can call the Phoenix VA Creative Arts Therapist at 480-524-5036. Receiving of artwork and the Topaz Clinic will take place May 5th and 6th. Veterans may only enter up to 3 items in the local event, and there is a 1 item per subcategory maximum. Information about categories and submission requirements can be found at www.creativeartsfestival, and that's all one word, creativeartsfestival.va.gov. Creative arts are one of the many forms of rehabilitative treatment offered to help veterans in their recovery and is evidence-based practice for various diagnoses seen within the Phoenix VA. Certified recreation therapists and creative arts therapists focus on goals of improving veterans' lives by building coping skills to address issues related to both physical and emotional distress beyond the hospital setting. The veterans participating in the festival receive recognition for their continued progress in recovery and rehabilitation. This event provides an opportunity to help them measure that progress, foster creative and emotional expression, share their stories, and connect with other veterans through shared artistic experience. Next, from the Phoenix VA newsletter, we have veterans. Now's the time to stop dipping or chewing tobacco. VA support can help you quit, whether it's your first try or your fifth. Stopping your use of chew, dip, or other smokeless tobacco products can be challenging, but many veterans have found that practice helps them build the skills to quit for good. The Great American Spit Out on February 20th is the perfect time to try to stop, whether it's your first attempt or your fifth. VA is ready any day of the year to provide you with the support and treatment that have helped countless veterans stop chewing or dipping. Immediate and long-term benefits. Stopping your use of dipping or chewing tobacco improves your health and quality of life. Your mouth sores begin to heal, your gums become healthier, your breath starts to smell better, and your sense of taste improves. You also save money. Save the time you're spending to dip or chew and set a positive example for your children or other family members. The longer you go without dipping or chewing, the lower your risk is for stroke and heart disease. Plus, your risk for cancer of the mouth, esophagus, and pancreas drops when you stop, and your risk will continue to drop as time goes by. 5 years after you stop, your risk of mouth cancer is cut in half. VA support to help you stop. It's okay if you weren't successful the first time you tried to stop. Every attempt is a step in the right direction and an opportunity to learn what works for you, what triggers you to dip or chew, and what support you might need to overcome those challenges in the future. Support is available no matter how often you've tried to stop before. Nicotine replacement therapy and prescription medications can help you manage the effects of nicotine withdrawal. And counseling can help you build practical skills to stop the behavior of using tobacco long term. When you combine both cessation, medication, and counseling, you give yourself the best chance at quitting for good. Here are some ways to get started. Reach out to your VA provider through MyHealthEVet, VA's online patient portal, to learn more about your medication and behavioral treatment options and to find the combination of treatments that works best for you. Call VA's free telephone quit line at 1-855-QUIT-VET, and that's 1-855-784-8838, for counseling and help with developing a plan to stop using tobacco. QUIT-VET coaches offer counseling in English or Spanish, and they offer continued support through follow-up calls. Sign up for Smoke-Free VET at gov/VET or by texting VET to 47848 to receive supportive text messages at your fingertips whenever a craving hits. Get extra support and immediate tips when you text URGE, STRESS, or DIPPED to 47848. And you can build a personalized quit plan at Smoke-Free Vet. We also have an announcement. There will be an 80th anniversary Iwo Jima flag raising, a military parade and flyover to begin at 8:30 a.m. The ceremonies to follow at the Matthew B. Wan Ira H. Hayes Veterans Memorial Park in Sacaton, Arizona. This is on February 22, 2025. March is Colorectal Cancer Screening Awareness. Join us for special events hosted by Health Promotion Disease Prevention to raise awareness about the importance of colorectal cancer screening. Early detection saves lives, and we want to ensure you have all the information you need to take proactive steps for your health. Their events will feature expert nurses who will provide valuable insights about screening, explain home test options, offer free screening information, and distribute informative handouts. Don't miss the chance to walk through the educational static display of a colon designed to enhance your understanding of this crucial health topic. On February 26, 2025, from 8 to 2 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden Veterans Administration Medical Center, first floor ACC lobby near the parking garage. On the 5th of March, 2025, from 8 to 2 p.m. at the Phoenix 32nd Street VA Clinic outdoor front patio. And on the 25th of March, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Staff Sergeant Alexander W. Conrad VA Clinic outdoor front patio. Cancer screening can save lives. There are simple options for colorectal cancer screening, including tests that can be done at home. Talk to your healthcare team about which is right for you. 9 out of 10 colorectal cancer cases can be treated successfully when found early. Next, Vietnam War veterans. The Phoenix VA healthcare system is hosting a ceremony to recognize the return of our veterans from the Vietnam War. United States of America Vietnam War Commemoration will join us to recognize, honor, and present commemorative lapel pins to Vietnam veterans March 13, 2025 at 1 p.m. If you are a Vietnam veteran or know of any Vietnam veteran that would like to be honored during the ceremony, please RSVP to PR Phoenix. That's one word, PR Phoenix at va.gov, no later than the 10th of March, 2025. When your attendance is confirmed, we will confirm the event location. This event is free and open to all veterans, families, and caregivers. Honoring our heroes, Vietnam War Veterans Recognition and Pinning Ceremony, 13 March 2025 at 1 p.m. And that is the Veterans News Now from the Phoenix VA Healthcare System. Now I have a newsletter from the National Center for PTSD. This article is entitled, Manage Insomnia and Other Sleep Problems. People with PTSD may try to push away traumatic memories during the day, which can cause worries to get worse at night. Nightmares and insomnia are both symptoms of PTSD. Those who experience sleep disruption may avoid sleep due to nightmares or flashbacks, have increased arm and leg movements or restlessness, require background noise or lights to stay on during bedtime, feel on alert, or the need to protect oneself, talk during sleep. Getting a good night's sleep can positively impact your daily life. If you or someone in your life experiences insomnia or other sleep problems, consider downloading the VA's mobile Insomnia Coach app. Insomnia Coach provides a training plan to guide you to better sleep over 5 weeks and beyond. Once you complete a self-assessment and log your daily sleep diary for a week, Insomnia Coach will provide you with personalized sleep feedback and tips to develop better sleeping habits. You can also view graphs that show your sleep patterns over time and set reminders for yourself to log your sleep each day or when it's time to wind down on sleep. And that sleep app is available from www.ptsd.va.gov and search for PTSD. And they show the mobile app here, the Insomnia Coach, created for everyone, including veterans and service members, to help manage insomnia. The app is based on cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, or CBTI. It includes a guided weekly training plan to help you track and improve sleep, a sleep coach with tips for sleeping and personal feedback about your sleep, interactive sleep diary to help you keep track of daily changes, and 17 tools to help you get your sleep back on track. How to use the coach? The Insomnia Coach can be used as a standalone education and self-care tool or as a supplement to professional mental health care. This app is based on scientific research about how people can change their behaviors and thoughts to improve their sleep. Insomnia Coach is designed to be used daily for 5 weeks by following the training plan. After that, you can continue to use the app to track your sleep and maintain good sleep habits. Note, Insomnia Coach is not intended to replace needed professional care related to sleep problems or PTSD. It is recommended that you consult a healthcare provider before using this app if you have any of the following conditions, as they may be affected by changes to your sleep habits: sleep apnea or restless leg syndrome, bipolar disorder, seizure disorder or epilepsy, sleepwalking, night terrors, or excessive daytime sleepiness, frailty, and risk of falling if getting up at night. This app may not be right for you if you're a shift worker or your job requires you to be awake at night. And that's Manage Insomnia and Other Sleep Problems, a newsletter from the PTSD, National Center for PTSD. Well, you've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your phone or tablet, available either from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Echo or Dot.